All right, welcome everybody. One more week in the quarter. Good to see everybody here for Hebrew Club.
The remnant.
Yes, indeed, the remnant, the blessed remnant. We are at 1 Samuel chapter 22. So we started that chapter last time. We're on verse 6. And David is on the move, if you will remember. So the next section in Samuel is going to be the travels of David, or something like that. And very interesting things happen in the relationship between David and Saul, and we've seen that develop through most of this book, actually. So we're going to pick it up at verse 6. Remember, the prophet Gad had told David to leave the Metsudah, which was the stronghold, wherever that was, after he dropped his parents off in Moab, remember? Dropped them off, then continued his travels. because, remember, he had a relationship with the Moabites through Ruth. I mean, I think that's very interesting at the end of Ruth. So that's kind of in the background here. His parents had safe haven, and then he went to this stronghold until Gad told him to leave, and Gad was his advisor. Notice that Gad doesn't seem to tell him because he got it revealed from the Lord. It seems to be kind of operating on a totally human plane here. All right? So we start off with verse 6. Vayishma Shaul kino de David. And Saul heard that. So notice after the verb of perception, you have an object clause with ki, very common. And Saul heard that David noda. See the root yada, the nipal. David was known. But you would probably best in English, David was discovered. See? And Saul heard that David was discovered. In other words, they knew where he was. Okay? Va'anashim asherto, and the men who were with him. Okay? Ve'sha'ul yoshev ba'givatachat ha'eshel. And Saul was staying, I guess, in Gibeah under the eshel, that's the tamarisk tree, ba'ramata, in Ramah. Notice how this clause is related to the former one. It's kind of a circumstantial clause, so I would translate it while. So I would the whole verse. Now Saul heard that David was discovered. David and the men who were with him were discovered while Saul was dwelling in Gibeah, under the tamarisk tree. I don't know what kind that is, in Ramah. And so I'm just kind of checking this map here. Everyone can see where, I'll pass this around, where Gibeah of Saul is. And then as you go through, look at Gibeah, Ramah, and Nob, because that's what it's referring to. And remember, David, though, was south. David was had dropped his parents off in Moab, and was the stronghold is somewhere south of there. So I'll pass that around. You guys can look at it while I'm reading. Okay. Vachani tobeyado. And his javelin was in his hand. You know, I said that about Saul. Notice, man, the guy is always armed and dangerous. Don't play cards with him. The kol avadav nitzavalav. And all his servants, I would probably translate this not servants, but his army here, his forces, were standing from nitzav, notice in nifal, were standing alav, by him or maybe around him. All right? Any questions on verse 6? Yes?
The second line there of verse 6, he took as a temporal...
Yeah, kind of, yes.
Did you get that clue from the conjunction or from the participle?
I got the clue by looking at how the whole clause seems to be related to the first clause. Very often, too, when you have a circumstantial clause, you don't have to. You can use a vav consecutive, but it's more customary to not have a vav consecutive.
But so it's from the conjunction. That
yeah, the conjunction, right, the breaking up and notice Saul is put forward and then you have a participle.
Right.
So that's kind of a common way you see that. And also just reading the sense of it, notice that he heard while this other stuff was going on. So while he was dwelling in Gibeah, obviously that's where it's heard. So kind of the context helps us with that too. Okay, verse 7. Vayomer Shaul la'avadav ha'nitzavim alav. I love how this author is redundant. Notice we already saw that by his repeating Saul, even though we know who the subject is. We see it in verse 7 again. And Saul said to his servants, or his forces, who were standing around him. We already know that, but he keeps repeating it. All right, so let's kind of take a look at that as kind of a stylistic feature of the narrative. I think we've seen it before. It'd be interesting to do a study on how often that happens in one book. Do you ever see sections where you don't have that kind of repetition and sections that are more detailed like this? By and large, I would say, right, from you guys' impression, maybe agree, it seems like we see more of this kind of stuff in Samuel. All right, I don't know if that's true with other narratives either. All right. Shimana, he's polite here. Notice the na with the imperative. Please listen, because it's not polite what he says. Shimuna, I don't know if it's ironic. Shimuna b'nei yemini. Please listen, Benjaminites. Okay, b'nei yemini. Remember, Saul was a Benjaminite. Gam lekul kem yitain ben yishai sadot u keramim lekul kem yasem sare alafim v'sare me'ot. Okay, so listen, O Benjaminites, also to all of you will the son of Jesse give sadot. Will the son of Jesse give fields and vineyards? To all of you will he... take this as a direct object. And Yasim, will he place lekulkem? Will he place all of you as sare, as leaders or princes of alafim, thousands, and princes of hundreds? All right. Verse 8, let me read it and then I'll ask for questions. You can kind of see what's going on here. Ki keshartem kulkem alai. Okay. Certainly you have conspired. Kulkem, all of you. See? Certainly all of you have conspired. That's what kashar means. Alai, against me. Ve'ein gola ozni. And no one is revealing my ear. Notice gola is just a participle from galat to reveal. No one is revealing my ear. In other words, no one is informing me. No one's talking to me. And no one is revealing my ear. Okay, now this is really a simple construction, but it looks weird. Bikrat beni'im ben yishai. Okay, the bait is a preposition. The karat is actually a simple call infinitive construct from karat, to cut. Notice it doesn't have the holem. It has shortened to a kamatz because of the close relationship that it has with the beni. So it's literally, no one has revealed my ear in the matter of the cutting of my son with the son of Jesse. And notice he doesn't say cut a berit, a covenant. It's just shorthand. Karat means to cut a covenant. So, no one has told me, kind of more idiomatic English, about the agreement of my son with Jesse, with the son of Jesse. Okay? Okay, now here's another one. Ve'ein chole mikem alai. Ah, chole means to be sick. Here it's not to be sick. And no one feels sorry. None of you feel sorry about me. Chole. Okay, no one sympathizes with me, probably, put a better spin on it. Ve'ein chole mikem alai. Ve'gola et ozne. And reveals my ear, and lets me know, tells me. Okay? Ki hekim. Notice that's just a hip feel from kum. And so it's going to take a direct object. Ki, certainly, beni, my son has hekim. Certainly my son has raised up et avdi, my servant, and here he's referring to David, my servant Alai, against me, le'orev, to lie in wait, or to lie in ambush, kayom hazeh, as, now I would just understand the verb, as he is doing hayom, as he is doing this day. See, literally as this day. But as he is doing this day, or as is the case now, or something like that. Alright? Questions through verse 7 or 8? Everybody see how Saul's talking?
Can't even say David's name. It's like,
yeah,
son of Jesse or my servant.
It's like, yeah, I know. That's, again, interesting. And I'm wondering what... You're right. That's an interesting question. How David is talking, or how Saul is talking, what does that mean about how he's feeling? It's hard to say. By calling him his Avdi, maybe he's kind of putting him down, you know, and the son of Jesse. Yeah, so that the name would be an intimate relationship and you just can't bring himself to do it. Yeah, so he's revealing himself in the way he talks to you. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Is that a typical use of it? Sorrow.
It usually, yeah. It also means to appease the face of someone. Remember when Moses wants to appease God, challah, I think that's either the PL or HIPL. I can't remember. Sorry about that. But also, it can also be choli. That's the noun, sicknesses. So he bore our choli, sickness. All right. Good. Any other questions? Verse 9. Vayaan, here it comes. Vayaan doeg ha'edomi, vehu nitzav al avde Shaul vayomer, ra'iti et ben Yishai, ba nove el Ahimelech ben Ahitub. Okay. Doeg answered from Anah. Remember Doeg, the Adomi, the Edomite, answered? Remember him from previous in the narrative? When David was at Nob, Doeg saw him there. He was kind of passing through. So Doeg answered, the Edomite answered, Vehu, and he, Nitzav, here's just a Niphal participle again from Nitzav, and he, also he, I would probably with the Bob, also he was standing with the Avdei Shaul, with the servants of Saul. Okay, so notice it gives circumstances. And Doeg, in English we'd say, and Doeg, the Edomite, who also was standing with the servants of Saul, answered, Vayomer, and said, Ra'iti, I saw et ben Yishai, I saw the son of Jesse, ba, coming, Nova, coming to Nob. Alright? El Ahimelech, to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. And remember, on the map, I don't know if you saw it, but I have kind of listed, just so you remember, Eli was the great-grandfather, Phinehas, Ahitub, Ahimelech, and then after Ahimelech, Abiathar. And it's important to remember Ahimelech here and Abiathar, his son, as you will see. All right. So, notice Doeg rats on Ahimelech. Vayishal lo ba'yahweh. And here it is. Notice this idiom. We've run across it before. And he asked for him concerning Yahweh. Ba'yahweh, about Yahweh. In English, we would say he inquired to Yahweh for him. In other words, David asked Ahimelech what Yahweh's will for him was. That's what that idiom sha'al plus beit Yahweh means, to inquire of Yahweh. So he inquired of Yahweh for him. And the him refers to David. Okay, so that's one thing he did. Vayishal lo by Yahweh. Vetzeda natan lo. Zeda is provision, food. And provision natan lo, he gave to him. Now it saves the best for last. Ve'et cherev galyat ha'pelishti natan lo. And notice how he fronts the object here again. And the sword of Goliath the Philistine, Natan, he gave to him. All right. Questions through verse 10? Yes.
More general question. There's a lot of names in here and titles and so forth. Is there a clue just in general to be able to spot what is the name and
when it's not a name?
Yeah.
That's a difficulty always, especially when you see them and they look strange.
Yeah.
You know, the only clue is to see where it is in the sentence, but sometimes that doesn't help you because sometimes names, a lot of times names are based on Hebrew roots that look very familiar, like
right.
Saul, Shaul, you know. And some of them are more obvious, but notice even Ahimelech is, you know, brother of a king.
Right.
And so that's what makes it difficult. Same with place names. Like when you look at Noveh, you might think that that's a participle from Nava. And if you look it up in BDB, you probably won't find the root, but you might find Nov under it. I'm not sure. But it's those kinds of issues that are difficult. And there's no... I wish I could tell you.
They should come up with a color-coded Bible.
Yeah, color-coded Bible. You can make a million on it. Yeah, all the names in green or something. Yeah, that's good. All right, but notice that last thing is like three strikes, you're out. He inquired of the Lord... sustenance he gave him, and then the sword of Goliath. Strike three. Uh-oh. Okay? Verse 11. Vayishlach HaMelech likro et Ahimelech ben Ahitub HaKohen. Notice it calls him a priest here for a very definite reason. Ve'et kol beit aviv HaKohanim asher beno. Okay? So the king, Yishlach, sent to call Ahimelech. And I would probably notice the shalach. In English, you'd want to say, so the king ordered, and notice here, I think you could translate this something similar to you do a Greek infinitive construction and the accusative becomes the subject, almost. So the king ordered that Ahimelech be called. Or more, maybe that one call Ahimelech, or that they call Ahimelech, see? Son of Ahitub, the priest, and all the house of his father, the priests who were Benob, at Nob. Okay? Vayavo'u, and notice that Nob is not that far from where Gibeah was. So it's kind of close on the map. So they came, Kulam. So all of them came to the king. Any questions on verse 11? Okay, verse 12. Vayomer Shaul. Then Saul said, Shemana. Please listen. Before the hammer comes down, he always uses na, which is really interesting. Saul said, please listen, Ben Ahitub, son of Ahitub, Vayomer. And he said, Hineni, or Hineni Adoni. Here I am, my master. Notice the way that he talks to Saul. Very humble. Subservient, willing to serve. So notice that the author is characterizing Saul and Ahimelech in certain ways. Ahimelech comes as this innocent guy, Hineni Adoni. See, kind of without guile. And doesn't know what's going to happen to him. So verse 13, Vayomer Elav Shaul. Saul said to him, Lama Keshartem Alai. Why have you conspired Alai against me? Ooh. Ata, you, Uven Yeshai, you and the son of Jesse. Alright. Bet Titaka Lo Lechem. Vecherev Vesha'ol Lo Belohim. Notice he kind of goes in opposite order, the Doeg talk. You and the son of Jesse have conspired against me, Bet in your giving to him bread. Notice that Bet Titaka is a simple infinitive construct from Natan. And notice temporal, when you gave to him bread, or in your giving to him bread, vecherev, and a sword, vesha'ol. Notice this is an infinitive absolute, and it is a, kind of a stand-in for the finite verb, much like the infinitive construct previously is. And in your inquiring of God for him, sha'ol lo belohim. Okay, so three ways he helped him out. Lakum Eli, so that, with the result that kum, David is the subject, another infinitive construct, so that he is rising Eli against me, let orev, as one who is lying in wait. Again, you have the participle orev, as one who is lying in ambush, kayom, as he is doing hazeh, kayom hazeh, as he is doing this day, or as he is doing right now. Okay? Questions through 13? Verse 14. Here it goes. This is very interesting how he answers. Vaya'an Ahimelech et Hamelech. Then Ahimelech answered the king, Vayomer. And he said, U mi bekol avadeka, kedavid ne'eman. Now who, notice the u, the conjunction there, and who, among all your servants is as David Ne'eman, faithful. Nifal participle from Aman. So, now who among all your servants is as faithful as David? V'chatan HaMelech. And he is the chatan, the son-in-law of the king. Vesar, this is from Sur to turn. Notice that there's a footnote here because it's kind of awkward. And he turns El Mish. Mateka, the Mishmateka is, notice that it's a noun from Shamat to hear, and it is usually taken to mean those obedient, or those who listen. So, guards or Saul's men, see? And so it's normally translated, and he is the leader over your Mishmeret. In other words, he's the leader over your army, your guards, your force, your obedient ones. See, it's more literally, and he turns to your guard. So notice he's simply saying, hey, look, he's faithful above everyone. He's your son-in-law, and he leads your army. All right? And Nikbad, and he is honored. Kabad. He's an honored one. Beveteka, in your household. Okay? Verse 15. Hayom hachiloti lishalo. Hayom, today. Now, hachiloti is from chalal. It's a hifil, perfect, first common singular from chalal. Chalal, remember, can mean to pollute or to defile, but you guys know it more regularly, commonly as to begin. And that's what it means here in the hifil, to begin. Okay? So, today did I begin lishal? Notice that this is a simple, again, a simple infinitive, and you have the alternate spelling because remember when a word is closely attached, it follows. Sometimes the accent moves over. And when it becomes closed and unaccented, the vowel shortens. But notice there's an alternate reading that has the vav in it. So they want you to read with the comments, lishal, the consonants have lishol. That's the difference there. So it looks really screwy, but it's the same word, just spelled different, depending on whether you think it's so closely related to the word that there's a shortening. So, today did I begin to inquire of God for him? Chalilali, here's an interjection, far be it from me. Better English, certainly not. See, certainly not. Al yasem hamelech. May the king not put be'avdo against his servant. May the king not put a davar. May the king not put a thing against his servant, against all the house of his father. Ki lo, for your servant, notice how deferential he's being, calling himself servant about three or four times here. For your servant did not know bekol zo, about bekol, any of this. Okay? Any of this, pause. Davar katon, a small thing or gadol, great. So in other words, he didn't know anything about it, little or big. What's going on? See? As far as he knew, David was faithful to Saul, and he was helping him out. So you can see the predicament he's in. If he wouldn't have helped him, Saul could have killed him. So he did. Any questions through this passage?
I have a question.
Yeah.
The Sar. We went through earlier. Is there any way that could have been confused by scribes with sin, or,
you know,
they were...
Well, you know, if you look at the footnote, 14a, the Septuagint actually has Kai Archon and a ruler. See, that's where you get that translation. Targum seems to have the same. I'm wondering if it's got it confused or if it's a different spelling for Sar with a sin, which means prince. I don't know. Okay, verse 16. Vayomer Hamelech. Then the king said, Mot Tamut. You will certainly die, Achimelech. Ata, you vekol beit avika. You and all the house of your father. Vayomer Hamelech. Then the king spoke to Ratzim, the runners. This is from Roots. Remember, Roots means to run. And it's a reference, evidently, to the guards, his men, Hanitzavim, those who were standing alav by him. Okay, sovu, that's from savav, an imperative, call imperative. So it's turn around, vehamitu, and kill Kohane Yahweh, the priests of the Lord. Notice how he calls that. Ki gam yadam. For also Yadam, their hand is with David. Veki Yadu, and certainly Yadu, they knew that Borech Hu. Certainly they knew that he was fleeing. Velo Galu, and they did not reveal Ozni, my ear. Notice they want you to read Ozni rather than his ear. They did not reveal my ear. They didn't tell me. Velo and Avaf is to be willing, and they. And the servants of the... Oh, I'm sorry, just pause there. Does anyone have any questions up to this point? Notice you have the pause. Okay, now, velo avu. But the servants of the king were not willing. Ava. They were not willing, lishloach, to put out or to send out et yadam, their hand, lifgoa, to smite, paga. It's a rare word, means to meter and to encounter, but here obviously means to strike or to smite. Be kohane Yahweh, the priests of Yahweh. Alright, so we got a predicament here. We'll see what happens next. Okay, any questions through? We'll stop here for the day. Any questions through verse 17? Alright, good. We'll meet next week then, one more time this quarter, and we'll easily get through 22 and be on chapter 23. See you next week.